Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Casey Alexander, new Belmont basketball coach in studio. We've talked to you a bunch the last couple of weeks, but that's the first time I've said that. So congratulations.
Thank you. A lot can change over the course of a couple of days, right?
Yeah, right. So how has this process been for you? Obviously, you told us last week while you were still coaching for Lipscomb that you had interest in that job because of the relationships that that you had forged over at Belmont for 20 seasons, four as a player, 16 as a coach, and that it was going to be tough. How tough was it?
It was difficult from start to finish. Not at all because I did not recognize what a great opportunity it was and what a great place it is. And, you know, and my family and I have a lot of great memories from there. My kids grew up there. Coach Bird's important to me. So I knew, you know, what that opportunity looked like. And so never once questioned if that was a good move. You know, fortunately for me, or unfortunately, however you look at it, we had also built 6 years of really strong relationships at Lipscomb with people that we loved and cared for us well. And so it became really a tough decision just from an emotional perspective. But in the end, as everybody knows, you just kind of have to take the information you have, make the best choice you can, and do it for what you think are the right reasons, and then don't turn around, look back.
Big kind of a whirlwind, I would imagine.
Yeah, and really just because going back to last week, you know, we're in New York City and fly back on Friday.
Trying to win a championship.
Correct. Yeah. Fly back on Friday, meet with Belmont on Saturday, meet with Lipscomb on Sunday and Monday, make a decision on Tuesday, get announced on Wednesday. We're here on what now I understand is Thursday. and so it's still going.
For a lot of people, when they take a new job, it's like, okay, Will Healy, who is our friend, he basically said, I got to go. Mm-hmm. And his wife was pregnant or had just had a baby, and he had to hire staff, and all these things were happening. But in two different states, you know, two a time zone away, literally for you, it's like a mile away.
Right.
And this is the rarest of rare where your life totally changes, but really nothing changes. You'll sleep in your same bed.
Yeah, really unique circumstances. Yeah. There aren't many Division I coaches in any sport that can
you could have walked
take
to
a
your new
job.
Yes,
yeah,
from the old one.
When we do, and we do. We take the dogs. We're walking. We're going right to Lipscomb or left to Belmont. Which way do you want to go today? Right. That's generally how we do it. So it's very unique, and it makes the transition much easier, really, for my family as much as anything. There's no moving. There's no changing schools. There's no how we're going to see each other in a few weeks. And so it's really seamless as far as that goes. Great familiarity. I mean, I walk in, I know where everything is. I know who most of the people are. I know
where Greg's
the roster.
Is.
I know, you know, the whole deal. And so that makes it easy. There are a lot of, there's still a lot of things that taking a new job requires, even one that's kind of ready made to win. But we'll work on those details in the next few days. But
how long had it been since you had been there other than to coach a ball game?
I went back for the recognition they gave Coach Bird for his 800th win, just as a former player.
Right.
Late in the season, and I'm not sure if that's what you're asking me, but I mean, the only thing I've ever been there for was to do something for him.
Right.
Or because we were obviously playing a game, so very different. Last 8 years, not there, not very present at all. But again, a lot of the faces are the same, and. And so it's not going to require a lot of getting my feet wet.
Speaking of that, I thought one of your comments in your press conference today really stood out to me. And that, speaking of Coach Bird, and your quote was, "This will always be Coach Bird's program, whether he likes it or not. We just hope to build on that success." I have a feeling Coach Bird probably got you on actually saying that, right? He doesn't want that out there.
You know, he didn't want any part of that. He didn't even want to be there today, just for the right reasons. You know, he didn't want to overshadow anything that we were doing. But but I mean that. You know, and that's people talk a lot about, hey, you want to go follow a legend? You know, that's, you know, a lot of times the next person is not the next person for very long after you follow somebody of his status. The whole Bear Bryant scenario and everything. And you know, and my response to that is, first of all, you've got to bet on yourself, if you're worth your salt and you think you can do the job. So I'm happy to do that. And then, you know, but more than anything, you know, there's nobody that I would, in our business for sure, and in large part my personal life, that I would rather make proud and rather do something for and rather keep something good going good than him.
That's awesome, man. Coach, you played at Belmont. Yeah, congratulations, by the way, first of all, on an awesome season at Lipscomb. It was so fun to watch. Yep. You played at Belmont. You coached there for years. I'm curious, in 2011, when you left and took the Stetson job, was this job at all in the back of your head as a goal? Is this something that you always wanted? You know, obviously the circumstances played themselves out. Awesome career at Lipscomb, and now you're going to move on. But when you left, was this a coaching goal that you always wanted to, you know, get to?
No.
Not really?
Not a goal. You know, I left and assuming I would never be back. I don't even know if I'd ever be back in Nashville. You know, I was moving to Central Florida, and you just never know once you start coaching where that road's going to lead you to. And and so it really was not, it was the farthest thing from my mind. I mean, I was more assuming that I would not have the chance to come back to Belmont. You know, it's worked out very well. You know, just 2 years later to first be able to come back to Lipscomb. And I've told a lot of people thought when I first did that, hey, he's going back to Lipscomb because he loves Nashville and he's got to be in Nashville. And I said, no, that's not true. If Lipscomb were in St. Louis or Birmingham or Atlanta or wherever, I would still want to go be the coach at Lipscomb. And so it just happened to be in Nashville, and it just happened to be at a place where I also had a lot of familiarity.
How much flack did you catch when you took that job from like former teammates and stuff like that?
Yeah, that one created a little bit more, eye rolling and,
like, what are you
what's
doing,
he Kevin? Doing on the Belmont side and what are they doing? On the Lipscomb side. And, you know, and so that was really very natural. And, this one makes a little bit more sense to most people. You know, naturally, I think, I hope and that, you know, Lipscomb people are disappointed and having a hard time figuring out why would he do that. He's done a good job here. But I think anybody who can look at it objectively, you know, can understand why we made the change.
Casey Alexander with us, new Belmont basketball coach. Casey, how difficult was it to have that conversation with Philip Hutchinson and also your team?
I told Philip I was going to call him on Tuesday evening. You know, and Tuesday evening turned into Tuesday night because I didn't want to call him. And it was hard. It was hard. I mean, I've got such great respect for him. The smartest guy I know, a great leader, a good friend that had really treated me exceptionally well. So I did not like making that phone call. As you would imagine, he handled it very graciously. He's done nothing but be supportive since that moment. And so that was very difficult. You know, the even more difficult part was walking into the locker room at Lipscomb yesterday morning and saying bye to those players. And, you know, those guys, when you just invest your life into them and theirs into you, and then it's an emotional time. And I've said that several times today. You know, it's pretty rare when you can leave for an opportunity in whatever occupation that you're really excited about and you know makes great sense for you and you're going to be happy, yet also have sadness. I would even call it grief. Because you're leaving a place that you loved and meant a lot to you. And, you know, if you can say those two things, then you're living a pretty good life.
On the other side of the roller coaster of emotions, then you have a new team, which you're familiar with because you played against them. I think you had said that you have met with the players at Belmont and introduced and said hi to them. What was that like walking into that room?
Yeah, it was different. And I'll give you a little bit of the chronology of events. I mean, I met with the Lipscomb team at 9:55 yesterday morning. You know, we're trying to keep this a secret because you guys are really good at what you do. And, you know, and so I got it.
I don't want to bother you
too
much.
Your phone's blowing up.
You're great. And you know, it's not because it's, you know, to make some splash. It's more because, you know, we think that the players at Lipscomb deserve to hear it from us, and we think that the players at Belmont deserve to hear it from us. And so that's really what that's all about. And, you know, but that was scheduled for 9:55. It took about 15 minutes. I got in my car. I drove to Belmont for the meeting with that team.
Which took about
10:20.
At
10:20. So within 25 minutes, I had talked to both teams. And
wow.
So
that is a roller coaster
of emotions.
That ride
right there, I mean, I couldn't talk to anybody, you know, but it was, you know, I mean, I was sad. I cried some, you know, little baby crocodile tears and, you know, in the Lipscomb locker room. And, you know, so I had to get my composure back, and then I have to, you know, and then I got to walk into this locker room, which I'm extremely excited about. And I've got to present myself in such a way that, you know, that they're excited about me being in there. And yeah. So it was that hour was really awkward, if nothing else.
And those guys are young. They don't know you as a Belmont guy. They know you as the Lipscomb coach who they play twice a year.
I don't even know if they knew when I walked in the room, if they were sure that I was going to be the person walking in there, you know, because that's just kind of the, you know, they knew that they were going to meet their coach and there was only really a couple of us that were considered and you know, they probably had put two and two together, but at the same time, you know, I had recruited a few of those guys. Mm-hmm. So I have relationships with a few of them, but I know all of them, but they don't know me. They don't know, you know, how I'm going to coach them. And I've got a lot to figure out about them too.
Just kind of looking through this Belmont roster, you're very familiar, but they had a lot of young players that were very productive. I know you saw it firsthand. How excited are you about these guys?
Yeah, very excited. You know, it's it was kind of both and when you think about their team. I mean, Wendler and McLean, so good.
Oh, yeah.
Two seniors that they're losing that, you know, that really carried the load down the stretch, and two guys that will be really hard to replace. But then you flip it over and you say, golly, I mean, Buzinski's back. He's just going to be a sophomore. And Grayson Murphy had an incredible freshman year. And Caleb Hollander had a great first half of the season and before he drifted off. But can we get him back to where he was? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this person, that person, that person. It's that's another unique thing about the job is typically when you take a job, it's because it was necessary. And you've got to go in and read, you know, culture needs taken care of, and you know, changes have to be made, and rosters have to be flipped, and you know, none of that is the case in this situation.
You obviously have literally working relationships with some of the assistants at Belmont, where you're taking over. These are friends of yours for a long, long time, and you had a great staff at Lipscomb. Do you just tell Scott Corley, hey, man, I need everybody. I need a position for everybody. And this is going to be tough.
I told him that, but I don't think he heard me. and it will be difficult, you know, and that things like that typically, you know, it works itself out in the end. It's not necessarily fun in the decision-making process, but, you know, we're in the part of the year where a lot of job change occurs anyway. And, you know, so maybe some other doors open for one or two of those guys anyway. And, but that'll be a work in progress, but you're right. I mean, there's a highly qualified staff, in my opinion, that was at Belmont last year that's still there. And there's a highly qualified staff that was with me at Lipscomb last year that's still there. And so there's more people than spots. And so we've got to figure that part out. And ultimately, you know, that's my responsibility just to make the best decision I can make.
Not easy, but a great problem to have, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Coach,
when
all the dust settles and the emotions, you know, are gone, and you do get your staff put together, and you get to put your actual coaching hat back on, what's the next step now? You know these guys, you're very familiar with your roster. You know, spring's going to turn into summer, and then how do you start this next program off, and what does that look like?
Well, it's more of a long-term answer because there's very little time left in the semester. All right, we got exams coming up in about 3 weeks. You've got to stop all activities like 7 or 10 days before exams, and so we're only looking at maybe 10 days max to do anything. Not going to get a whole lot done in 10 days, and so really we're talking about when they return for summer school.
Gotcha.
You know, and the plan for workouts during that time, and we got, you know, great camps on campus, and so, you know, that sort of thing. But we'll have 6 or 8 weeks together, or however many it is, in the summer. This actually is the year for a foreign trip.
Oh yeah,
for Belmont, and so the timing of that is really good for us. I don't know; it hasn't been decided where or when.
Yeah.
But that affords us some practice days prior to that trip that we otherwise wouldn't have, and a few games, you know, and so that will prove really advantageous for us come November.
If this is a movie, when you walked into your office the first time, did you open like one of your desk drawers and there's a beautiful sweater vest in there?
I tell you what, I went in there
with a whistle and a note. It's all yours now, kid.
Today for the first time, when I went in that office and I was doing some I had some obligations to meet, and there were some other people in there and so forth. But I totally felt like I was sitting in Coach Bird's office. I didn't think it was, it did not feel like my office at all. And I mean, right before I came here, he was still in there. He's trying to get things out of the drawers. And, you know, I'm like, Coach, don't worry about it. We're good. We're good.
How different is your style compared with his? I mean, you know, we see you guys in public, and I've seen you in a practice setting. I've seen him in a practice setting, yeah. But so I guess my question is, what kind of stylistically difference will there be for these players to experience?
I don't think there will be what seems to them a fairly significant difference, just because practice plans are different. We're a little bit more high energy. It's a little less cerebral, that sort of thing. So they'll feel a little bit different there.
Meaning you run hot sometimes.
I'm sorry?
Meaning you run hot sometimes?
Well, I can get that way if I have to. And he can too. But, you know, it was always ironic to me all the years that we coached together. You know, I won't call him the old guy, but he was the older guy. I was the younger guy. And so you would think that I would be the creative, adjustments-oriented kind of coach, and I wasn't. I was a lot more of, let's do what we do. Let's do it better. Let's stick to what we are, that sort of thing. And he was always, no, let's abandon ship. Let's start over, that's really whatever. And so that's, you know, that'll be some differences too, just within game. I think we have a lot of the same strengths as far as, being able to adjust and make decisions and calls and out of bounds plays and things like that that are good for our teams. I learned that from him, but, the other's quite a bit different.
It's interesting to me. I was at a school where we had 5 head football coaches in 5 years, and it was just, literally 3 of them left on the same day in December. When it came close to that day, we all freaked out because we knew something bad was going to happen. But what you learn in a situation like that is people do come and go and other opportunities come up. It's how you left the program when you left. So in your case, there's probably some people who loved you at Lipscomb. Man, they're just, golly, this is just torn them all up. But you left that place better than you found it. That's when you hire a coach, that's all you could ask is, I'm going to hire you. I'm going to trust you with our kids. I'm going to trust you with being the most high profile person at our university. I'm going to trust you with all that. Leave it better than you found it. That's what you did.
I hope we did. I think most everybody would say that we did. You know, we, not to discredit anybody, but we had a lot of things to clean up when we got there, and it wasn't, and we couldn't do it quickly. Just the nature of some of the problems that we were facing did not afford us the chance to, you know, to make any wholesale changes or anything like that. And Hutch was great from the beginning about, you know, making sure that I knew he was going to allow us the time that we needed, just to do it the right way, first of all, and then let that kind of start building some steam as we went along. And so, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, that gives me a little bit of peace in making this decision. Probably in the same way that Coach Bird felt a little bit more at ease about stepping away when he did after an at-large bid and a win. It probably helped me a little bit feel like, you know, I'm, not that we couldn't have done more and not that we couldn't have kept making it better, but I think that they would sign up and do it all over again if they had the chance. And so that's that was enough for me, at least in my mind.
So players that you recruited and signed to Lipscomb, they're bound by that letter of intent, right? They just can't up and follow you.
2019 signees, yeah. No, they would have to go to, you know, get a release and go into the transfer portal.
Was it tough to talk to those guys?
Yes, but not as difficult. I mean, you know, they came, and no matter what anybody says, the head coach has a lot to do with why somebody says, yeah, I want to go be a part of that program.
Yes.
And, you know, and so that's very difficult. They've spent all year long, you know, thinking about, you know, I can't wait to get to Lipscomb, and man, Lipscomb's having a great year, and, you know, this is going to be great, and, you know.
And I like that style, yeah, and I like coaches, yes, you know, beliefs, yeah.
And here they are, you know, literally probably 5 weeks from coming in for summer school, and the coach is gone, and they don't know what's going to happen next, and is that going to fit my style, and is that, you know, is that, am I going to like it? Lipscomb's still Lipscomb. There's still great things, and that was my message to them is, you know, you, what you signed up for, you're still going to get, and, you know, we did a lot of really good things this year, and they're going to have a really nice pool of candidates to choose from, and you're going to have a good coach, and so just don't get in too big of a hurry, and, you know, be ready to make the right decision when you can.
The wife all in favor of this?
Oh, yeah.
Having gone to Belmont?
Yeah, she's good. I
mean, she doesn't have to move?
If she wasn't, it wouldn't be happening, right?
We'd be talking to the Lipscomb basketball coach, Casey.
Exactly.
First order of business, for sure. You know, I've got my daughter's a sophomore at Lipscomb University, and she'll stay. And I've got a 10th grader and a 7th grader at the academy, and they'll stay. Mm. And so,
boy, that's probably a first.
But that tells you about the community that we're in. I mean, yeah. You know, it's gonna dynamics will change. You know, the boundaries will change. The friendships will, you know, for us as parents will change a little bit. But I fully expect that they will continue on as if nothing ever happened, and they'll be just as happy as they were.
Well, good stuff, man. Congratulations, my friend. I know that was kind of a tough thing, but I know you're excited too. So we appreciate the visit.
And we get to keep you in Nashville, yeah, so we're excited.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Well, you say when you came in, no matter what happens in your goals and your life, you know, with your coaching stuff, you're going to bet on yourself. And I'll tell you what, man. I'm betting on you too, bro. This has been great.
You don't want to know his betting record, though.
Marianne's all in. Oh, come on, jeez. Yeah, we're live, Nikki. Golly.
Check the account.
Yeah, check the account.
I got some good stuff
don't
for
check
you.
The account.
He was 0-8 in the Sweet 16.
He knows how upsets go. Come on now.
Oh, man, that's Casey Alexander. Yeah. When we come back, more of your reaction. Preds lose game one. We've got an unbelievable stat that Teresa Walker from the Associated Press threw out there that's not going to make Preds fans happy.
Won't.